Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing the refrain. Appreciate your presence at Main Street today. Please register your attendance by using the pads at the end of the pew and pass them on down so that members and visitors alike can register their presence. And if you're a visitor, please let us know, because we would like to welcome you and keep you informed about things that are happening at Main Street. Our first announcement today will be given by Lee Roberts.
Good morning. We are having a special offering today. We have not done this at Main Street for several years, but we feel that considering the economic times, it is most appropriate that we begin having this offering. It's called the Golden Cross Ministry. You may have an insert in your bulletin. There is also a special envelope that may be in your pew rack. If you don't have one, feel free to use a regular envelope. Don't let that stop you from giving. This is a special offering that provides maintenance and insurance on the units for retired ministers at the three retirement facilities in South Carolina. Also, if any of our members of the United Methodist Church have catastrophic health expenses, this fund can be tapped and used for a portion of those expenses. Last but not least, which is near and dear to my heart, being a nurse, is it will also offer scholarships to nurses and people in the healthcare profession. This is a very, very important ministry. Please be generous as you give to this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lee. As usual, Main Street United Methodist Church is a very busy church. Main Streeters, which is the older group in the congregation, will be attending Brigadoon. Today is the last day to get tickets, so please come join us. We might even look the other way if you're not really older, okay? It's a good group, and it's going to be an excellent musical, and we will have reserved seats for us on the 21st. Also, there is a reminder about the gatherings. You have three excellent program opportunities. The book, The Shack, which is a bestseller, and it's really quite an experience in food for thought. Is a discussion group. Various religions are under consideration as well. That's another group that you can participate in. And then the prayer shawl ministry, which you will see examples from this group up on the altar. There's going to be a prayer shawl blessing today. There are dates available to prepare food. If you will check and see, I think, Kathy, that this Wednesday is also available. So please see Kathy so that you can put in to put your group to raise funds for providing food for the gathering. And everybody who's come in today, because I've been sitting over in this corner, has said, "Wow, look at all the lights." Do you know there are just a few remaining opportunities, but we do have some opportunities for you to participate in the RAP project, the window restoration for the stained glass windows in the sanctuary. Please check it out, because it's going to make a really big difference in our sanctuary, and we would love for you to be a part of that. Thank you very much, and I hope you have a good week. Let us continue with our worship.
come to rejoice together. God is present with us. Sing praise to God, all you faithful ones. We are restored to life morning after morning. We will extol our God who lifts us up. Come to be washed and cleansed, forgiven and freed. Renew your commitment to the one who calls us. We have come to listen to God's word to us. We will give thanks to God's holy name. Come to enter the race for an imperishable goal. Proclaim the joy of serving in God's name. We are here to find where God will send us. We are ready to serve in Christ's name.
Seated. I invite you to join me in our invocation. We invoke your presence here, O God, for it is out of our darkness that we seek your light. It is out of our sorrow that we seek your joy. It is out of our doubts that we seek your certainty. It is out of our restlessness that we seek your peace. It is out of our sin that we seek your forgiveness. Satisfy us early, we ask you through Christ. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 40, the 21st through the 31st verses. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out to the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when He blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because He is great in strength, mighty in power, no one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're reading from 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race that all runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As I share these prayer concerns, I invite you to come forward if you wish to kneel so that you'll be here and be able to lift up your private and silent prayers during our time of silent prayer. Whether your heart is empty and dry and you need prayer, or whether it's overflowing with joy and you need to lift up special thanksgivings, the worship service in this time is set apart for that. Let us be mindful in our prayers of Miriam Aylwine, Billy Tunstall, John Tidwell, Meredith Driver Edwards, the family of Larry Dunn, Rebecca Bartless Marino, and Don, Rhonda McGinnis, who has a nephew that is still missing. Myra Schaefer's father, Nelson Green, is in the hospital in Spartanburg. We just learned that an out-of-town member, Florence Pierce, passed away in New York. She was 98. We don't know any other details. And I ask you also to be in prayer for my Uncle Archie. I mentioned from time to time in my sermons, he's always a physical fitness buff, but at age 88 and a half, he has found himself weakened and in the hospital in Easley, and I covet your prayers. Let us go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, there are so many voices calling for our allegiance. Give us discernment to hear your voice, even though it is sometimes a still small voice deep within our hearts, within our minds and souls. And make us disciplined and mindful that we need to take time apart to be quiet and to listen for your voice and to follow in the directions that you would have us go, and to continue, which is a high and holy honor, to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, where we are weak, make us strong. Where we are bitter, soften our hearts. Where we are overwhelmed, give us comfort and courage and strength. And where we are talented, give us the boldness to step out and volunteer and lead and do new things in your name and to your glory and honor. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for all that you have given us. And we do thank you for the life and the guidance of your Spirit in this church and for the new things we are doing to reach out deeper and deeper into the community and world in your name. Guide us in all that we do, that it may be pleasing to you. We pray your comfort upon those who are grieving. We pray your peace upon those who are anxious and those who are unemployed and have financial problems. We pray that you work things together for the good, even when on our own resources we see no end to our troubles. We pray for the leaders of the nation and of our states and of the countries of the world. The leaders, we pray that they be open to the influence of your Holy Spirit. Open to your influence for the things that make for peace. And now, Lord, we lift up our private prayers for ourselves, for each other, and for concerns that we lift only before you, only in our sacred time of prayer. Lord, hear now the silent prayers of our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We continue now our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns into your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
I'm not really sick today, am I? And if I had been sick, I certainly would not have asked you to hug me and risk getting sick yourself when I have. But I bet you... I don't know. I had the children's sermon this morning, so I bet I would be. I bet there's somebody listening on the radio, though, today who would have given me a hug. And maybe even made me some homemade chicken soup. And I think that person would be maybe my mother. Maybe my dad. I don't know. But I think I could have counted on my mother to have given me a hug, even if I was really contagious and sick. How many of you have been sick lately? Maybe you've had a really bad cold or a really, it is that time of year, a really, Latham House, really bad stomach ache. I'd be willing to bet that none of your moms and dads said this to you. Well, gosh, honey, I'm really sorry you're sick, but there'll be no special hugs or treatment until you're completely well, because I sure don't want to get what you've got. You think they would have said that? No, probably not. And we all know that the best medicine when we're not feeling well is a hug or a touch from somebody that we love, right? We know that. Well, that's exactly what happened. Yeah, you just have to cover your mouth and stuff, wouldn't you? Or I think the new thing is to sneeze into your elbow. I think that's right. But you know what? That is exactly what happened in the Bible. Jesus was traveling, and he met a man who had leprosy. And leprosy was this really, really bad skin disease long, long time ago. And nobody wanted to touch him. And certainly nobody wanted to give him a hug. But guess who did choose to touch him and it made him well? Anybody have a guess? Jesus, that's right. And you know what? Here's the main point to this little sermon. Jesus didn't have to touch him. He chose to touch him. You know, we're all faced with lots of hard choices every day. You guys are faced with things like, do I do what my parents have asked me to do, or do I disobey them? Do I share my toys with my friends, or do I just keep them for myself? They do. I know there's lots of pressure to do things like that, isn't there? Or, you know, here's one that I know goes on in schools. Do I ask that little boy or that little girl in my classroom to come and join my group on the playground? Or do I just leave them all by themselves alone? Lots of choices that we're faced to make. And this is kind of like the choice that Jesus had to make with the man who had leprosy. And what I want you to do as you go about this week, I want you to think about the choices just like Jesus had to think about when he chose to touch the man with leprosy. Let's have a prayer. Ready? Bow your heads, please. Dear God, thank you for giving us or for teaching us to make strong choices in our lives. Thank you for teaching us to make strong choices in our lives. Help us to look for ways to touch someone in need. Amen. Make strong choices this week, okay?
And now, with the exception of Lisa Smith, let us pass the peace. Affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lisa has already preached from our gospel reading, the Gospel of Mark, first chapter, verses 40 through 45. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, usually I start off, or at least I try to start off, with something a little bit funny to grab your attention. I'm not going to do that today. It doesn't always work when I try. Yesterday, I spent 2 hours riding bikes in the rain with a young couple I just met. And at first we talked about the weather because the weather was all around us and it was cold and it was wet. And then we talked about the bikes because they were pretty obvious. They were right under each of us, so we talked about them. And then the next question was a predictable question. What do you do in real life? What is your job? So much is wrapped up in what you do. And I started thinking last night, imagine how hard this hits people who are currently unemployed. Who are you when you have nothing to do to earn a living? But wrapping up your identity too much with your job can cause imbalance with family time and with church time and service and mission projects that you might want to do, but your work just will not allow. No matter what your company says or whoever you work for, ultimately, you are not who your job says you are. You're more than that. And I've learned this lesson in an odd way, from the backside, by getting to know so many people very well out at Wesley Commons. Retired people no longer have a job-related identity. And many of them move from several states away, far away from the people who knew their career identities. And so now, they're just people again. At some point, and it might just be the day after retirement, what you were no longer matters. What matters is what you are right now. I like that thought as sort of an aside from the point of view of sin and forgiveness. With God's grace, what you were no longer matters. What you are in this moment as a forgiven child of God matters most. But that's another sermon for another day. What about the theme of the day? My title is Waiting, and I'm thinking mostly about the Isaiah passage, Waiting. Well, wrapping up your identity in things makes you live too much in an imagined future. It can make you wait and worry way too much. Waiting for promotions, waiting for raises, waiting for accomplishments, awards, retirement funding, and then waiting now for retirement funding to come back. But while you're waiting, you know, your life is passing by. While you're waiting, people and friends and your children are passing through your life. Time is running out. You're getting tired of waiting and living in this imagined future, and your strength can run out. Your postponed joy and your imagined future you're waiting for can get harder and harder to see and harder to believe in. Where do you live? In the past, in the present, or in the future. It is better, I think, Scripture says, to live now. And that ancient wisdom from the Psalms says to us, this is the day which the Lord has made. This day, rejoice and be glad in this day, right now, this moment. This day is holy. Find a way to rejoice and be glad in it. And I know that there are some days you will need help and guidance from God to find something to rejoice about. That's okay. God is here. God is near. You don't have to do this alone. We weren't meant to live this life alone. As Isaiah tells us, sometimes we all feel faint. At the end of our rope and energy and wits, God can help. Now, I've only fainted once, and I don't like using the word faint. It sounds somehow feminine. So I passed out. Once that I remember. I was a child, about maybe 12, and it was a hot July afternoon, and I was riding a 26-inch red Western Flyer bike, and my friend David Schmidt, who lived down on the same street I lived on, he was astride his chrome-plated Mattel Boss bike. It looked like a motorcycle, but had no engine, and if you have one of those in your garage, they're worth a lot of money. We decided we were going to race all the way around the block, and it was a big block, and it was hot, and Dave was older and stronger, and he was lighter, and I gave it all that I had. And at the downhill finish, I remember I stopped pedaling, I was coasting, I lost, and I felt the oddest, most relaxing, velvet smooth sleep come over me. The last thing I remember was riding off the right side of the road and into somebody's yard, and this sort of like a green blanket coming up to greet my face. And I lay there what seemed like hours, and I woke up feeling kind of refreshed. And my friends were doing all that they knew how to do, which was kicking me in the ribs and saying, hey, hey. It seemed that I put more demands on my body than it could stand, and it shut down. My brain, my body said overload, and it laid me down to sleep to wait for things to return to normal. Return to normal. You know, I've given up on that. I've given up on return to normal. When I was young and foolish, I thought that there would come a day when the financial struggling would end. The children would be grown and out and everything would be smooth. That was my imagined normal that I was looking forward to. But as my children have grown older, you know, my parents have also grown older. Well, now my parent. It brings a new set of challenges. In the past 3 years or so, and I've been with this with you as we've grown together, my father has died, my mother diagnosed with leukemia, I've had 3 grandchildren born, all my children have gotten married, my wife Caroline has moved mostly to Columbia, and my favorite uncle, who I speak about a lot, Archie, who's been a physical fitness nut and a drill instructor, World War II in Korea, his whole life, hiked 3 hours with me on the side of a mountain trail last year on his 88th birthday. Well, he's today in a hospital in Easley, weak and frail. And beyond that, as many of you can identify, my retirement fund has lost about 40% of its value. So many of us have gone through all these things, or we're going through them now. Waiting for a smooth, easy, normal to come around is waiting in vain. How can God help? Well, I think the best feeling in the world is rest. When you're really bone tired, some rest in the shade on a hot day when you're weary, rest is such a blessed thing. And Sunday worship and private prayer time serve the same spiritual purpose as taking a rest and catching your breath. We are here to
to wait upon the Lord. And this is a real part of worship. Now, I want you to keep your eyes open and no snoring, please. But we are here to rest in God's presence, to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord in Isaiah means to take a break and take a focused rest, a time of prayer, and an openness to God's presence. And wait until you catch your breath. Wait until the swarm of concerns become just background noise, and your faith and your focus and your hope and trust in God come to the forefront. Wait upon God in good times to gain love and forgiveness and grace enough so you'll have something to share with other people, and wait upon the Lord in the midst of trouble and pray until you discern God's direction. That's not always easy. God's presence and God's peace. And then you can move on into the stream of life, encouraged and emboldened and reminded that you are not carrying the weight of the world alone. Wait and pray until you know God is with you, even in the storm. You know, there have been times in my life when I have felt so overwhelmed that it seemed like nobody taught me this, it just seemed like the only proper posture for prayer was to lay flat out on the floor, face down. It just seemed like I'm as low as I can get. And that reminds me of a story. And you know, when I say that reminds me of a story, it's supposed to be funny. So laugh when I'm finished. Three preachers sat discussing the best posture for prayer. A telephone repairman was nearby overhearing this conversation, and one said, well, kneeling is definitely the best. It's the traditional way to pray. The second one said, no, I get the best results by looking heavenward and with my arms upstretched. And the third said, no, laying face down on the floor, on the ground. That's the proper way to pray. And the telephone repairman couldn't contain himself anymore. He said, hey, fellas, the best praying I ever did was hanging upside down from a telephone pole when my safety belt broke. I like that. Prayer is not just for troubled times. Prayer and waiting are the way we focus on God and remember that it is not all about us, and the weight of the world is not really upon our shoulders, and the good that we have is not guaranteed to last forever. And all the good that is in our lives is not the result of our own cleverness. In good times and bad, trust God, wait for, claim, and feel God's presence in your life and in the world. I hate to reduce things to a bumper sticker, but I saw a bumper sticker that read, angels can fly because they take themselves so lightly. You'll forget the sermon, but you might remember that. You do not have the weight of the world on your shoulders. That's a lie. And you're not that important. You're not that powerful. You may be carrying a weight that does not belong to you, and it will wear you out. We can't carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. We need God's help just to carry what belongs to us. Time spent in prayer and quiet waiting for God's still small voice is not time wasted. Now, speaking of the Christian faith itself, C.S. Lewis once wrote, Christianity is a statement which, if false, is of no importance, and if true, is of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. What if God actually exists and actually cares and actually is available to uplift us in ways we cannot understand through His Spirit, to uplift us when we are down, to give us the power to endure when we are faint? Then if I can change Lewis' quote to the availability of God in prayer, if that is true, then it is infinitely important. If it is false, then it matters not at all. I believe it is true. And it is important to pray and be still and wait for God's comfort, God's presence, God's direction. The bumper sticker version of that, I believe, is don't tell God how big your mountains are. Tell the mountains how big your God is. Now, we're ready for Isaiah. These words in Isaiah came to an Israel which was in slavery, in exile, in Babylon. You need to remember this. They were slaves in a foreign land, drug out of their homeland, out of their homes, out of familiar territory, and made slaves in Babylon. and they had begun to doubt whether God existed or had any power or any love for them. These words came at a very low point, a very low point. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these stars, these planets? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, because he is strong in power, not missing one. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint nor grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Tremendous words of encouragement, of being focused on who God is and how eternal and unfailing is God's love. I grew up on a farm and we did a lot of target shooting. And I know that if your sights on your rifle are off just a millimeter at 100 feet, you are going to miss the target entirely, miss it by a mile at 100 yards. We're in troubled times. And we each have our own individual soul-sapping troubles to deal with. Don't try to deal with them alone. Focusing on yourself in times of trouble makes us miss the mark that much more. By yourself, you run out. Even youths can faint and be weary, and young men fall exhausted. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings like eagles and run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Waiting on the Lord, I believe, means to be still, to be quiet, to be in prayer, to gain strength and focus and be mindful of who God is. You know, the promise from Scripture is not just enough energy to make it through the day. It speaks of enough energy to soar. And I think that we as a congregation have begun to walk and run and hop, hop, and take flight and soar just a little bit. We have these prayer shawl ministry today, and they are multiplied by many hands. Salkehatchie here and in Bamberg, the warm ministry we did in January, where you all came out in larger numbers than any of us expected. The windows project, which you responded to wonderfully, and if you respond a little bit more, we'll get that one fixed. No, that'll come back. But there are some windows unsponsored. I say that as a commercial for the trustees. Tuesdays we have a batterer's counseling meeting in the Susanna Wesley building. We have Thursday Celebrate Recovery over there. Every Wednesday, several program offerings and fellowship dinners. We have scouts. We have sports teams. The United Methodist Men build 14 ramps a year for members and just community folks alike. Women's prison ministry. Free AARP tax service housed here. So many things. I've left out so many. We found the motivation to not just walk and not just run, but to also not just make it through the day, but to soar just a little, to run the extra lap, to jump a little higher and do more than just survive from day to day. We thank God for that power to run and not be weary, to institute effective church programs, activities, and ministries. With God's Spirit guiding and sustaining, we always go to deeper depths and higher heights than we thought we could. We're not meant for mere survival. And sometimes we only pray when we're in trouble, just help me make it through this day. We are meant to soar. Now I'm going to totally change gears here. I read a story on the National Geographic webpage, and you can find it there, on a nuclear submarine called the Thresher. That's the name of it, the Thresher. In April the 10th, in 1963, the Thresher disappeared at its maximum depth in the ocean. They had some radio communication until it got beyond its maximum depth. And the oxygen pressure within could not sustain and keep the hull intact. And they knew that it was now lost forever. Well, some years after the thresher disappeared and we got better technology, thicker glass and thicker hulls and more pressurized submersibles, the small sub, a smaller one, went down to find the thresher on the ocean bottom at a tremendous depth. I don't know the depth. Well, they did discover the thresher, and it was a very strange sight. They said that it had completely imploded. They said it was like a hunk of steel, but it had been flattened. It had flattened, and it had imploded upon itself like a crumpled piece of paper, mostly flat. The pressure, they could not withstand the pressure outside. But the oddest thing about this story, and the reason I'm relating it today, is that there were sea creatures, all sorts of sea creatures with big eyes and odd skin and oddly shaped, all swimming around at that very same depth, at that very same pressure. Pressure which had crushed this steel man-made machine. How could they survive under that pressure? Well, the simple physics is the pressure within the animals was the same as the pressure without. They were able to withstand the pressure because of the pressure within. Jesus said to his disciples that the Spirit, the Comforter, the power of God was with them, and in John 14 would be in them. And after Pentecost, we claim that promise to be walking, talking, moving temples of God's Holy Spirit within us. And when we spend time praying and waiting and filling our empty souls with God's Spirit, we can survive at greater depths, under greater pressure than we have ever known or thought we could. So renew your strength by waiting upon the Lord and cultivating and the indwelling Christ, so that when we minister and when we work and when we relate to others, friends and family and loved ones and enemies, we have the power of God's Spirit guiding us all along the way in all of our interactions. Now, I'm going to say something because I have been here a long time. We've known each other for a long time. Now, I'm going to share a secret. Not a week goes by that I don't say to myself, I can't do this anymore. Not a week. And I mean the anymore, preaching, teaching, counseling, pastoring. At least once a week, something happens or I get to a certain level and I say, I can't do this anymore. But each time, I take the time to pray and I hear God's still small voice reminding me, Jim, you can't do this at all. Not without me. When I try to do it by myself, nothing is right. Everything seems flat and one-dimensional and empty of power and depth. But on a good day, when I take time to wait and pray and focus, I can run a little, hop, and maybe soar. When you stop and wait and pray, you will find an amazing thing. God has also been waiting on you. Waiting on you to come home. And I love the picture, and Jesus said it in the parable of the waiting father, or some of us call it the prodigal son. Picture God as the father in that parable, waiting with arms open, watching down the road for the son to come home. The father was waiting with open arms to embrace. God is waiting on us. Let us take the time to turn and focus, to return if necessary to our waiting Father. Amen. I do want you to stand, but I do want Joyce to stop. I made a mistake. I lost myself in the moment. Everyone is invited to the chancel rail during the singing of the last hymn to lay hands. We're going to do a congregational corporate blessing on these prayer shawls, and they will be given out to comfort those with special needs or health concerns or in different situations. And when we give them out, want to tell folks they were made, handmade with love, and they were blessed by this whole congregation. So as many of you who feel a desire to come forward during the singing of our final hymn, number 368, and we'll do the benediction after we close. Please come forward if you wish. Now, please stand.
I owe his hands on nothing.
ask those members of the congregation up here to stay where you are with hands on our prayer shawls. You'll be representing us as we pray. May God's grace be upon these shawls, warming, comforting, enfolding, and embracing. May this mantle be a safe haven, a sacred place of security and well-being, sustaining and embracing in good times as well as difficult ones. May the one who receives this shawl be cradled in hope, kept in joy, graced with peace, and wrapped in love. In Jesus' name, amen.